Call from the Dáil on Kerry Today with John Downing.
Yeah, John Downing with us on the line for Call from the Dáil. John, good morning to you and thanks for joining me again this morning. We're going to have to do a call from Brussels or something, or a call from Europe for the next while as Ireland goes through its EU presidency. But first and foremost, absolutely, some wishes coming in. Well, wishes coming in from people, and people wishing the best for the Minister, Patrick O'Donovan, who was taken into hospital in Brussels yesterday and is under close observation, we understand, this morning. So great concern there. Hopefully everything is okay.
Yes, absolutely. It's a reminder of the toll that people can take, public life can take on individuals. He has spoken about health issues in the past. Most important now is that he has the opportunity to rest and get well, and indeed to extend or respect the privacy of himself and his family. He's in hospital in Brussels. I lived there for very many years, as you know, and I had various encounters with the health service, as one does over a long period of years. It's very, very good in Belgium. So, you know, I hope that means also he'll get the top class care, and hopefully he will be back to full health very soon. A man who has a more abrasive and aggressive approach to politics sometimes, but as a heck of a lot of cross-party goodwill towards him at the moment, and as I say, everybody taking account of the fact that in the end, politicians are just human beings like everybody else. And sometimes,
yeah, and they do. Unlike the view of some, they're not all lazy. They don't just sit in their offices. Well, they work hard. They put in long hours, and it takes a toll.
People will accuse Patrick O'Donovan of all sorts, but I don't think laziness would even get to the starting gate. One of the most industrious. I met him as a councillor many years ago, and ambitious, hardworking, and all of that.
Yeah, indeed. John, the price of a barrel of Brent crude is currently on the rise. We're being told, and we're told yesterday by the retailers in the area of fuel and diesel, that there'll be a 10 cent increase by this weekend. The reason why is because the war has started again. This one, you know, we kind of thought we were watching the World Cup in America. Donald Trump was trying to fix the game for his national team. We thought about that was about the size of the trouble we were going to get from Donald Trump this month.
But all of a sudden, the bombing started. The Clare crowd were even after the Donald to see could he reverse the All-Ireland hurling semi-final outcome, but that didn't work out either. You know what, looking at the Donald and the carry-on, you know, between Iran and just when things, you know, he started all of this out of nothing, for nothing, and sent the world economy into a tailspin in the process, not forgetting loss of human life and damage to property and civil installations and all the rest of that. Now he's back at it again, big dirty mouth on him, saying all sorts, and it's going to impact all our lives.
Yeah, and some reporting around this suggesting, and look, we'll see, what there was attempts overnight to try and get them back to the mediation table and to cool things down. Some reports overnight that the US administration are preparing for quite a lengthy conflict at this stage, which is deeply concerning as we head into the summer, and all of this has a lag time. All this has an impact as well on the Irish government. Simon Harris, Minister of Finance, having to come out yesterday and say, look, we're prepared for every eventuality.
Absolutely. And we were talking last week about the, you know, the phased restoration of tax levels, which were on petrol and diesel, suddenly reduced at the start of April, being phased back into place in the autumn. All was assuming there was going to be no change. It looked like there may be some semblance of stability in the Middle East at this stage last week. Now we're back at square one again. It's not encouraging, albeit on a sunny Friday with a banquet of sport out in front of us. A lovely weekend in view. However, the storm clouds are gathering behind us again.
Yeah, they certainly are, that's for sure. John, speaking of storm clouds, it's been a constant story over the last number of weeks. This week it developed again on several different stages. Ahanish Illumina, it's at the centre of the European conversation when it comes to Ukraine and Russia. We had that vote in the Parliament recommending, or a non-binding resolution, is that what it was, John? To ban imports, to exports to Russia.
Yeah, basically urging the European Commission to put Illumina, the product that comes out of Achenish, on the in West Limerick, on the Shannon Estuary, huge implications for jobs in Limerick, Kerry and Clare. Basically, you're talking about 1,000 jobs, 450 direct, and more than the same again in spin-off jobs. Huge issue for the region, which recently, but only in the spring, had the final wind down, by the way, in Askeaton of I meant to mention this last week, neglected it, of Wyeth, the baby food factory in Askeaton, a place I worked in for a long summer long ago. And that's gone with the loss of 500 really good wage packets there. So this is a big issue. So, as you say, the European aspect of it, President Zelensky raised it, not directly citing Achenish, but a clear reference. Then this non-binding vote urging European Commission to put Illumina on the sanctions list. Differing look at it, the four Fine Gael MEPs, Sean Kelly, Regina Doherty, Maria Walsh and Nina Carberry, they backed that element of the vote. So did Labour's Éan Ó Riordan and the Sinn Féin MEP Lynn Boylan. Interestingly, the four Fianna Fáil MEPs, Billy Kelleher out of Cork, Barry Andrews, Dublin, Barry Cowan in Offaly, and Cynthia Ní Warracú in Carlow, they abstained. And it was a very good explanation from Billy Kelleher about his position, basically saying, look, nobody wants product to go and contribute to Russia's oppression of Ukraine. However, any sanctions should hurt Russia more than they hurt the European Union. So supposedly we move against Achenish, what does Ukraine or the European Union, much less the Midwest region, promise? Answer, very little, possibly, or in quite the opposite. We could be shooting ourselves in the foot. But Hardy is coming to Hardy on this. Interestingly, the minister responsible, Employment and Enterprise Minister, Peter Burke has promised that the report on this issue, basically saying, do they or do they not supply and support, does Achenish, product from Achenish, support the Russian war effort? And this will be out within 10 days. Now, that raises a row within a row, because here we are, 10th of July, next Thursday, the boil is due to rise, and accusations from the opposition that you'll hold on to the report until the boil is up. Therefore, there'll be far less publicity, far less debate on this issue. So it goes on.
Yeah, it certainly does. And what does that vote in Brussels do? It's non-binding. Does that put any sort of pressure on the European Council, on the people who really make the decision or will make the decision on this? Or does it have any impact? Is it just symbolic?
Yes. It is on one level symbolic, but it does contribute to a political climate, to a very highly charged climate. By the way, another point made by Billy Kelleher and some of the others is, look, it's not just about Achenish and jobs and Ireland.
Okay, I think we might have lost a connection with John there on the line. John, can you hear me? Okay, we'll try and re-establish connection with John Downing on the line for Cough and the Doll. If you have a view on what he had to say, get in touch with us on the programme. You can text or WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300, or you can email kerry today at radiokerry.ie. We're talking about the issue of Ahanisha Lumina, of course, and that vote that took place at the European Parliament this week, which recommended a ban on Illumina being exported from anywhere in the European Union to Russia. The point being made by the Fianna Fáil MEPs in particular, with Niall Collins in this programme talking about the issue as well. And that was that this would harm Europe more than harm Russia in relation to that. John, I think we have you back on the line.
Yes, absolutely. I was just talking to the fresh air there, telling them about the European aspect, the importance of products coming from Ahanish for the European aeroplane building business, especially in France and Germany.
Yeah.
So no huge appetite to rush towards putting the mockers on Ahanish from Brussels. Yeah.
And John, that Niall Collins, Minister Niall Collins on his programme, obviously this is in his backyard, so he feels very strongly. You can accuse, you know, maybe Irish politicians, you accuse them of, oh, this is parochialism, we don't want to take the tough decisions because it would mean jobs in our area. They're very, very important jobs, you talked about, in the West Limerick area. But the point is, they have legitimate reasons, as you said, on their side. During COVID, one of the things that a lot of areas in the world found out was they didn't have access to critical materials within their own borders, and there was an international scramble. So have lessons been learned about that? If we, you know, need alumina, and this is one of the main producers of alumina for the European market, then it really would be cutting off your nose to spite your face. I mean, I'm saying that, yes, with the self-interest of our area in mind.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't apologise. I don't see why Niall Collins or any other politician should apologise for 100 good a thousand good wage packets being gonged from the area. I don't see anything remotely parochial about that. I think that's called the stuff of everyday life. I think, yes, the lessons of depending on stuff coming from Asia, China, whatever, are pretty stark as well. I think nobody wants, and nobody can justify sending product to Russia to go and murder children in Kiev and so on and so forth. And that is out of the question. But there have to be, if it does, if this investigation shows conclusively that product is going to Russia's oppressive war effort, well, steps are going to have to be taken. But in that eventuality, it seems to me, and it's argued by very many others, that in that eventuality, there should be plans put in place to protect the plant in Ahanish and to redirect its product elsewhere.
Okay, all right. That is where that one is at the moment. We'll see where it goes at the European level through the course of our EU presidency. John, there was also the matter in the Dáil this week of the hair coursing vote. We actually had Niall Collins on the programme to talk with us. He was leading the way for Fianna Fáil on this, for the government on this, in opposing it. And there was a debate, then there was a vote. And as an interesting piece in the Irish Times this morning with Harry McGee suggesting, this issue has been going for 20 years and the dial has not moved in terms of Dáil Éireann support, TD support. The point being made that as long as rural TDs are involved, hair coursing will not be outright banned in this country. Is this repeat, the same thing happening over and over again?
Oh, yeah, and it's far more than 20 years. It's we've had this one from going way back to the early 1960s, 125 votes to 4. So, you know, there is to some degree an urban-rural thing, but I think it shouldn't be presented as an urban-rural thing. Anybody who understands the greyhound sector knows the importance of coursing to that. Anybody who knows about life, particularly on the Western Seaboard, knows about the importance of greyhounds and the fun and the outlet, that social outlet and personal recreational outlet that it is for people. I think really, I mean, this, it's a complicated subject, but you go back to, some people call them blood sports. I've always called them field sports, hunting, shooting, fishing, and on into stuff like hare coursing. It is about understanding rural life, and it is about, for example, England specifically never resolved its land ownership issue. It happened here in Ireland inadvertently because of the Fenians leading into the Land League and all the rest of that. There's this terrible antagonism between landowners who are seen to be the unspeakable in pursuit of the inedible, as one of the great writers described fox hunting. But Ireland is different, and I think we should cherish that difference. And I'm not particularly interested personally in hare coursing, but I don't see anything wrong in people doing, pursuing it and having a little bit of what they fancy. It is heavily regulated. And yeah, as long as that regulation continues, I mean, I find this one, it comes out every now and again. I find it tiresome. Yeah. I find it time-wasting.
Is that what the issue is, John, with regards to it? The people who want it banned, and there are people who feel incredibly strongly about it, they feel that even with the strict regulation, it is still barbaric to them and needs to be changed. But they're failing time and again in getting legislators to do anything about it. Are the legislators out of step with the opinion polls, 65% feeling it should be banned? Or when it comes down to it, is there not enough support on the other side? There's not, you know, 100,000 people marching through the streets of Dublin. There's not real pressure being brought to bear in constituencies that would change the minds of our legislators. There was some cause within Fianna Fáil for a free vote on this. That didn't happen. So that there's all of that at play here, isn't there? And maybe, you know, the other side needs to think again, shall we say that, in terms of changing things.
There was friction within Fianna Fáil. Some urban TDs, particularly in Dublin, feeling that it could damage them. There's a great anecdote relating to this. The late Tony Gregory, who was a fierce opponent, vocal opponent of hare coursing, offered to go and canvass for a like-minded, left-leaning, independent candidate in the south of the country, and he was promptly thanked but advised to stay at home because the particular left-leaning, independent candidate felt he could do without an anti-hare coursing person on his side, because a lot of these voters were going to be supporters of hare coursing. So I think it's time to leave things alone, and particularly leave people in rural Ireland alone to get on with their lives.
Okay.
There are, I mean, I'll give you that about, you know, opinion polls, but I think it's a bit knee-jerk. You know, are you in favour of this? Are you against that? I think the reality is it's something that rarely occurs or comes across the average urban person's radar, and so be it. Let life go on.
Okay, John, life goes on at RTE, but not without problems. Kevin Backhurst and the RTE executives were back before an Oireachtas Media Committee this week. Before he went before it, he had to come out and refute and say that a report that suggested RTE needed another major bailout was incorrect. However, RTE indicated then at the committee that a 60 to 65 million euro government bailout would be needed in 2028 as the TV licence fee revenue continues to fall.
Yeah. And this came via questions from a Fine Gael TD, Joe Neville, who's, of course, a West Limerick man, Dan Neville's nephew from memory, questions that he put to Kevin Backhurst. And that figure, yes, a further 60 to 65 million down on top of the hundreds of millions already being paid over to support RTE. A particularly gloomy encounter the license fee, for example, a fall off. One in five people who paid the license fee in 2022 are no longer paying it for various reasons. We saw stuff during the week saying younger people are avoiding television. They're getting their entertainment from, you know, more online sources. Questions again being put to Mr. Backhurst about, you know, the levels of payment that are for the television license. Potentially 1.25 million households are liable to pay.
And is that a boycott, John? Paul Murphy was pushing him, saying, this is a boycott. You're hiding the reality. People are voting with their feet and they're not happy with how you're running it, so they're refusing to pay.
Basically, that's what it came down to. And basically, the fall off in people paying the license is far worse than anything that RTE or the authorities generally are prepared to admit. There is, as you say, a lot of people just don't want to do it anymore. For all sorts of reasons, mainly the revelations about the squander mania at the top, by the way, in RTE in 2022, beginning all the stuff, all the hullabaloo about flip-flops, Ryan Tubridy's under the table, all of that stuff. And it's not a happy ship. It's, you know, services are being impacted. The redundancies continue. A lot of people...
The land is going to be sold off, John, as well. It's going to shrink out in Montrose.
More of that again. And I wonder even about that. I go there from time to time to contribute to various things. Last time I was out there, I spent the greater part of 10 minutes driving around trying to get a parking space. They have already sold off a big chunk of the ground for housing. Very lucrative ground. There are arguments that they should, you know, sell up and move from there. It will give them hundreds of millions, perhaps, eventually, but to do that. But that's not a long-term solution to their funding problems. We need again to look at a different model of funding broadcasting, including yourself and including what I do for newspapers and so on. There is just a procession of bad news. It's very dispersed and it's quite a mess. There's a lot that is very good about RTE. We'll see it this weekend. We'll see. I'm sorry, I don't know which channels, but, you know, we'll see the two big games this weekend. We'll see, as we've seen, the World Cup has been available to us and it's coming to the crucial stages. There's all the stuff that goes very well, John,
and is done very well. But there's a key question here, and it's tied to the fear of a government trying to maybe bring in a new charge on the public. It's that there's going to have to be a new charge, isn't there? A device-neutral charge, as Kevin Backhurst called for. But then again, who's going to bring that in and be unpopular, bring it in? If they don't, we'll pay in the end anyway through direct funding. So that decision is going to have to be made. Do they scrap the license fee, fund it directly, or bring in a new charge which forces people to pay?
Yes, absolutely. And there is, this going way back to when Pat Rabbit in 2011-2016, there is, the model is there, going way back actually to Noel Dempsey, when he was responsible for communications at the turn of this century. The model is there for a sort of a fee,
which basically
amounts to a tax. But there is no appetite to do that. But in which case, it's going to come out of the maw, out of direct taxation. So you pay one way or you pay the other.
Okay, John, so brilliant stuff. Great stuff. Thanks a million for that. We'll talk to you again next week for the last time for the summer as the Dáil goes on its holidays. But thanks for talking to us this morning. John Downing there with Call from the Dáil.